Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source, a production of the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Well, folks, we had a beautiful weekend to get some racing in all across the country, and I had the opportunity to go back down to Anderson Speedway. It had been quite a few years since I had been down in that direction and taken a race down there, and Miss Sylvia Porter and her group of folks down there, they took good care of us, and we saw some just fantastic racing through all the classes. And I'll tell you, me and my son was counting. I think we only counted 11 caution flags through 8 races. So, you know, that's fantastic. You know, the night got through. We had a little bit of a lay in during one of the caution flags. But just some fantastic racing down there, and them guys put on a great show. And I just want to give a big shout-out to Miss Sylvia and all the folks down there at Anderson Motor Speedway in Williston, South Carolina. But, folks, we got a great guest tonight. You know, I get emails, text messages, Facebook messages all the time from people saying, well, how about interview this person, or see if you can find out about this person, or talk. Let's talk about that subject. Well, I've got quite a few requests, people wanting to know about spotters. So, you know, we've had our buddy Curtis Aldridge on here before, but we've never really had a short track spotter on here. So I want to take the opportunity to welcome Lloyd Gardner to Stars Radio and get his perspective. Lloyd, welcome to Stars Radio tonight.
Hey there. How y'all?
Hey, man, we're doing fantastic. The weather's been great so far for a couple weekends in a row to get in some good racing, and as long as I can get to go to a racetrack on a Saturday night, I'm jam up and jelly tight, as my uncle used to tell me.
That's awesome.
Well, Lloyd, for our listeners, you know, they hear us talk about spotters, and when they're watching races on TV, they hear, you know, hear them talking about spotters. Can you give us a little bit about what a spotter does? What's his responsibility, his job, for a Saturday night guy out here running at places like Dillon, Concord, Nashville, Greenville, Pickens, various racetracks? What does a spotter do at those kind of tracks?
Well, actually, we do a lot of different things, depending on, obviously, which racetrack you're at. But for the most part, the biggest goal is obviously take care of the driver. Second, probably, I'm speaking for myself mostly, is take care of the car. Obviously, the equipment's very important, too. So the biggest thing is the driver. But, you know, basically, you're giving them information that you're seeing unfold in front of you. You know, who they're racing around. What kind of lap times they're turning versus other cars that you're wanting to race with. Obviously, at most races, you have some really good cars that and guys that sort of key off of based off what you have. But the biggest thing, obviously, is keeping the driver safe. Keeping the car together is a big deal. And then, obviously, giving him information real time as he's making laps around the racetrack, putting himself in position to try to win a race, you know, just obviously, you know, the caution stuff is big, you know, keeping him out of trouble and keeping him from driving into something. But the biggest part is keeping him safe and keeping his car together, you know. And a lot of times some of these guys won't chatter or, you know, they just want the basics depending on who you're spotting and where you're racing at. And some of these racetracks that you mentioned, like Dillon and Greenville Pickens, obviously are tire management racetracks. So you find yourself as a spotter continuously telling him, take care of your stuff here, take care of your tires, don't abuse your rear tires, don't abuse your tires at all. You know, you just keep that coming to him so that you're really putting an interest on saving tires. And some of these places that it requires that, and some of them you can get after it, you know, right after when they drop the green flag, you know, you can just get right after it. But that's pretty much it, really, and just keeping him safe, you know.
Well, you know, Lloyd, you know, having been around this sport for my entire life, different drivers want to hear different things.
That's correct, for sure.
Tell us some of the things that some drivers want to hear but other drivers don't want to hear. Give us some examples of that, Lloyd.
Well, you know, some guys like to hear chatter. You know, just sometimes, you know, they'll even take a joke or two, you know, just you know, I've driven a race car twice in my life. It's a really, I don't know how you say it, really. You kind of feel like you're alone on an island out there. You know what I mean? A lot of guys want to hear a voice to give them a sense of security, that somebody is riding with them. some like to hear what everybody's doing behind them, and they continuously want the gap back to the car in front of them, or they continuously want their lap times, you know, when they get straightened up or whatever. Every driver is different, you know. I've spotted for Priest several times and been fortunate enough to go to Victory Lane with Ryan Priest on several modified tour races and some other stuff, and he's the type that he's acclimated to driving a race car, so he doesn't need as much feedback as some of the younger drivers that are trying to move up through the ranks. You know, they're wanting to know kind of everything. You know, do they need to move around on the racetrack? Is their line good? You know, some of these more educated drivers, as far as more, you know, the ones that have multiple laps in their particular car that they're racing, obviously they have a sense of comfort. So they know what they need to do, and they kind of know where the primary line is. Obviously, with tire wear, that stuff changes. But, you know, they just, you know, some want to hear you just to know that you're there, you know. And then some, they want to totally focus on what they're doing. They don't want to hear a whole lot of chatter back and forth between you and him, or you and the crew chief, or such and such. So a lot of times we'll use a second radio with a separate frequency to talk to the crew chief or somebody on pit road without the driver hearing it, which obviously lets him stay focused on what he's doing, which is driving a race car.
Right. Now, you mentioned the radios. Tell us a little bit about some of the equipment that you as a spotter have to have and take with you when you get ready to go spotting.
Well, you know, a lot of the spotters are different. There's multiple radio combinations out here. You know, they have the Mag 40s, which is a lower budget style radio. It's a good radio for short track racing. Most of your every Saturday night spotter or whatever short track racer will have a minimum of three radios. Some of the guys will use four, and some of the upper levels of racing they'll use five. It really depends on where you're racing at and who you're racing with. And some of the crew chiefs want you to be on a separate channel when you're talking to them about race strategy, so that the driver is not hearing all that and trying to process that mentally. You know what I mean? You need to keep them stay focused on driving the car. So, but I use EX600s, XLS. They're multi-channel radios. They'll hold up to 160 frequencies. I use three of those, and then I have a scan radio that I use to scan race control completely, nothing but race control, whether it be ARCA, PASS, NASCAR, Southern Modified Racing Series, or like Myrtle Beach has their own frequency. You know, I have that in there, so when I go to Myrtle Beach to spot someone, I have Myrtle Beach's race frequency in there to keep in contact with race control. Now, obviously, with that, you can't talk to race control, but you can hear race control. They do their commands over the radio. Everything is done through race control, so you hear that. But, you know, there's multiple different combinations, and depending on, you know, if you're spotting a 40-lap race, then obviously you wouldn't need three or four radios. You know, just it really varies.
Well, you mentioned having all the different varieties of radios up there. I'm sure you carry multiple radios for some of your larger races that's pretty much a clone radio, the same radio, and the reason you have that is why?
Well, if you're doing some NASCAR top tier stuff, they want you to if, for instance, if I go and do a cup race and I do like it should be done and the way they've got it written up, they don't want other frequencies in that radio from other teams. They want strictly your frequency and that's it. It really depends on where you're at, but the biggest deal is having radios that is adequate for what you're doing, and then obviously having backup pieces and parts to your radios, whether it be a spare headset or a spare push-to-talk button or spare batteries in case, you know, you have a battery to go bad on you. You've got one ready to fire in there and stay running, you know. It's a lot of pieces and parts in those bags that you see those guys carry, and a lot of money also. And all of it is worth its weight in gold, you know?
Absolutely. I know for us, when our spotter goes up, we always send at least two radios up there with them. And hopefully you don't have to use that second radio. But, you know, you do have stuff that breaks. Sometimes you think you got a fully charged battery, and it's showing fully charged. But, you know, after 30 minutes or so, it starts getting weak, and you start having communication issues. And it's always nice to have that backup radio up there. Now
that's for sure.
Oh, one of the questions, next questions I got for you is, now these radios, do the teams provide these radios for you when you go to spot for these different series, or do you use your own radios and just put their frequency stuff in them?
Well, I do like a lot of the guys are tied to teams, but a lot of guys are like independent contractors, you know what I mean? They supply their own stuff, they keep their own radios, and they kind of go everywhere they go. I have my own, and then when I pick up a spotting gig or something different that I haven't done before with a particular team or driver, I obviously go to either Racing Electronics or Racing Radios. I'm a big fan of the Red, which is Racing Electronics. They've treated me well over the years, and I try to use them as much as possible, but sometimes, you know, you're at like the Snowball Derby and there's no Racing Electronics trailer there, so you have to go with Bobby Hinkle at Racing Radios to get your stuff tuned up or, you know, have your frequencies put in. But I use my own radios, and I keep them up, and I keep the batteries rotating every year. I buy 2 to 3 new batteries every year and cycle out the old ones, and, you know, antennas and cords, and that stuff's pretty expensive, and you always got to have a backup. You know, you'll go into panic mode pretty quick up there if your battery goes to die, and, you know, it's a real cluster if you're not prepared.
You're exactly right. You mentioned Racing Electronics. Kevin Hughes and his group of folks that is over there at Racing Electronics, they've always taken good care of me. Highly recommend them to anybody that's needing radios issues. They're very good. They've always programmed my radios, never charged me a penny to program any radio.
Not a dime. And then they're absolutely super nice people to work with, for sure.
They sure are. But I got to ask you, I seen a little bit of chatter back and forth on Facebook between you and Robert Arch and Anthony Warren. Anthony called you a superstar. Well, I got to tell you, I had the opportunity being in the Navy up at Langley to see Anthony Warren drive a race car. He was a superstar at driving a race car.
I've heard some stories. Anthony's throwing some low blows there at me, but no, we all cut up. You know, we spend a lot of time on the roof together at a lot of these short tracks, and you know, you gain friendships and stuff. You know, those guys, it's awesome to be able to go out of here on the weekends. I'm an electrical contractor during the week. You know what I mean? I run a very small electrical contracting business. It's what I've done all my life. But this racing stuff is a disease to me, and I've been very fortunate to meet a lot of people like Anthony and Robert Arch and Paul Griffin and Joe White and all these guys that does this short track stuff. Brandon Lyons, they've all been a big help to me, showing me the ropes, you know what I mean? I've only been out here 4.5-5 years, and, you know, you have to have people to turn to that's going to steer you the right way, and, you know, it's really cool to bond with these guys on the weekends and get to race with them week in and week out everywhere. It's really cool.
It is, you know, and like I say, I remember Anthony from my days up there, and, you know,
I've heard some stories about his driving now. I ain't going to say nothing, but I've heard some stories about his driving.
His daddy
was an absolute wheel man, no doubt about it.
That's exactly what I was getting ready to say. He was brought up around racing his entire life, you know, so he learned from the best with Phil, you know. Seven-time champion there at Langley Speedway, a couple-time champion down at Southampton, a couple-time champion up at Southside Speedway. There was no better late model racer in his era than there was a Phil Warren. And Anthony was brought right up with that, you know. I remember one night, and I'm going to tell a little story about Anthony. I remember Anthony Warren and Casey Wyatt racing in super trucks, which is four-cylinder trucks when they first got started, and they decided to do a little bit of beating, a little bit of banging, and next thing I know, Anthony was out across the grass field on the back straightaway, and I remember somebody asking him, what was he doing, plowing for taters back there? What was going on? So,
he's digging taters.
He sure was. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Hey, also, I just, somebody else had liked, we put our Facebook Live thing up there, and somebody wanted to know who you are. They said they never heard of you. Do you know a guy named Corey Latham?
Oh, Corey. He's probably one of the best photographers around. I love Drew Hearwater, but Corey's a pot stirrer now. Don't get me wrong. He's a good guy. He means well, and he's been around to a lot of them tracks that you mentioned earlier, and he's probably taken several million photos. He likes for people, for whatever reason, these drivers, he likes to take a picture of them when they're shooting the bird. I don't know. I'm not real sure why he's a big fan of that, but that's typical Corey Latham right there.
It is, you know, and I've been knowing Corey for a long time, and we have a lot of fun joking back and forth every time we wind up at a racetrack at the same place. And, you know, it's good that you have people that you can get along with like that. You know, like you mentioned, like y'all spotters, y'all the same core group, you know, that goes to a lot of races, so you're together.
For the most part, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's the same way for us people who do the media stuff, you know. Corey does the photos and Race 22 stuff, and we do our Stars radio stuff here. So, you know, we're at a lot of the same places and the tower, you know, and a lot of the separate racetracks down in the pits and stuff. So, we all have a good time, and it's great that we can have a great racing family like that. Man,
I love it. I mean, that's a big part, you know, that fuels you to go back. You know what I mean? Like I said, you know, I don't do much during the week. I do some electrical work when it presents itself, and obviously my heart and my desire is to be at the racetrack on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if at all possible. So, I spend most of the weekends with those guys, and it's a lot of fun. I've met a lot of really cool people, been all over up down the East Coast here, and from Loudoun, New Hampshire, and Watkins Glen, New York, all the way to Pensacola, Florida, and I've met a ton of super nice people. Every now and then, some of the bigger races, the Snowball Derby and stuff like that, you'll get to run into, you know, some of them Cup guys, Chris Lambert and Chris Osborne, and, you know, Big Earl Barbin. And, you know, it's really cool to hang out with him, Freddie Kraft and Mike Herman Jr. Mike Herman Jr. has been a big, big help to me. I normally lean on him quite a bit if I got questions or got concerns, and he's been really, a big supporter of myself, and, I really appreciate everything he's done for me as far as a spotter, for sure. And it's just really cool to hang out with those guys. You know, you don't get to see them often. And my goal was, when I started in the middle of 2012, was to be a Cup spotter one day. I want to be on the roof on Sunday. I want to rub elbows with those guys. And some of these K&N races, we get to stand side by side and hang out with them, you know. And some of the bigger short track races, like the Snowball Derby and stuff like that, Martinsville, the big late model stock race there, you know, you get to see a lot of those guys. And it's really cool to hang out with them. Super nice guys, most of them, for sure.
Sure is, and you mentioned Mike Herman. You know, that was another guy who was a great wheel man in his driving days.
You better believe it.
Now as a spotter, you know, he's fantastic. And when we used to have the New Year's Day bash up at Rockingham, or what was it called, the bash? It's called the Polar Bear Race. Mike Herman used to have a big old party up there in the infield. And, you know,
Corey Latham been a part of that party. I've seen the pictures.
I know. Hey, we actually did Stars Radio live from up there one night.
That is awesome.
From the infield, we had a concession trailer that we was set up in, so we had a side door to open up, and everybody just kind of put chairs out there and sat there and watched us. And man, we had a blast up there. So
I've seen some pictures. I imagine there's some serious talk going on there, boy.
Oh yeah. Well, I got one more question for you that someone sent me here. They want to know, of all the drivers you had an opportunity to work with, if you had one that you want to take Saturday night ranks to go Cup racing and be his spotter, who would it be?
If I had one driver, well, I don't know that I can do one. I've been very fortunate to have spot some really good drivers. I won a lot of races with a bunch of different drivers. I'm very fortunate. I've won races with Blake Jones. I've won races with Adam Long. I've won races with Ryan Preece, Brandon Ward. Ben Rhodes, a championship, a K&N East championship with Ben Rhodes. If I had to pick, if I honestly had to, if somebody held a gun to me and said, pick one driver to go Cup racing with, it'd have to be Ryan Preece. His driving style, his mentality, his ability in a race car is pretty much second to none. And if the kid could ever get the right break and get in the top-notch Xfinity car or Cup car, if he could get in the top-notch Xfinity car, he would pave his way right to the Cup Series because he is that talented. And I got a ton of respect for the whole Preece family. I got respect for Mike Herman Jr. for putting me on that deal like 3 years ago. And I've seen nothing but raw talent from Ryan Preece, and he'll take a 25th place car and finish 10th with it, and that's about all you can ask for, you know. I'd have to pick Preece.
Well, Lloyd, I want to thank you for taking some time and coming on here and joining us tonight and giving us a spotter's perspective. I'm sure I'll run across you somewhere at a racetrack this year. I follow you on Facebook, so next time I think we're going to be at the same racetrack, I'll make sure I look you up and come up, shake your hand, introduce myself.
Man, I appreciate the opportunity to be on here today. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's definitely our pleasure, and you stay safe out there, and hopefully there'll be more checkered flags in the future with you, and enjoy the rest of 2017 season.
Man, I appreciate you. Thanks a bunch.
Yes, sir. Folks, you know, it's a little different to get a spotter's perspective. You know, I had a couple requests for that here a while back when I was out of commission, and I had an opportunity to set this up with Lloyd and to find out, you know, what a spotter does on a Saturday night racetrack. You know, we all get to see a little bit about what goes on in the upper tier divisions, and we've had Tab Boyd, and we've had Curtis Aldridge on here. So we've had a few of them guys to kind of get their perspective. But it's nice to have Lloyd on here tonight and talk about the Saturday night deal. And he's a great spotter, because if he wasn't, these guys wouldn't continue to hire him to come and spot for him. So he obviously figured out what it takes to be a spotter, and he must be very versatile to be able to adapt to go from driver to driver, because, like he said, each one of them's a little bit different. So, but I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show tonight. We appreciate everybody being here. And I got to give a big shout out to Patrick Reynolds. Patrick Reynolds was up at Bowman Gray Speedway this past weekend and took in the races there. And he met a young lady up there, Amber Lynn. Talked to her a little bit about being on my show. Me and Amber talked a little bit today, and we're going to have Amber Lynn on the show next week. Also, we're going to have a young man by the name of Aiden Hitu. We had his dad, Chris, on here a couple weeks ago. So got a great show already lined up for next Monday night. So don't go nowhere, folks. Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source. A production of Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Our military unit of the week is the USS Carl Vinson, sailing off the coast over there, waiting to see what's going to happen in Korea. You are our military unit of the week. We'll see everybody back here next Monday night. Good night, and God bless you.